precious Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for each person in this room, each church represented, each family represented. We just thank you that we can be busy in your fields, casting the seed, planting the seed, harvesting the seed. Thank you, Lord. Just maybe this next hour be your words, minister life, inspiration, encouragement, faith. Open our eyes wide to your opportunity, Lord. Thank you, God, in our countries. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have Pastor Ronaldo start first. We're very excited to have him as well. But if you can, we're going to be talking about this particular flyer and kind of sharing with you the idea of U.S. missions. It's not a new idea, but in the last 5 years, we've seen some real growth, especially in the last year. So we're going to talk about that. So let's welcome Pastor Ronaldo, please.
Good afternoon, or good morning, rather. It's afternoon somewhere. It's Greater Grace. Somewhere in Greater Grace Church, it's afternoon. Okay, just a thought before we talk a little bit about American missions. 2 Timothy chapter 12 says this. Father, bless these words today, this morning. Bless our church. We believe in you, and you stand with us. Quicken us, God. Speak through your word. Bring life, bring correction, bring encouragement. We pray in your son's name. Amen. Interesting verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, at the end of his life, is writing, and these are his last words, and this is his last chapter. He says in verse 12, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There's two different translations that say the same thing, but I like the way they put it. The Amplified says, "Indeed, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be hunted and persecuted because of their faith." Now, the Amplified Classic says this, "Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand." And thinking about U.S. missions, that word has been reverberating in my mind, stand. To stand. In these days, we have a great opportunity. Today's world, the world itself, has used the church as a scapegoat for everything that's wrong in our society, the old and the new. And the world has tried to redefine our motives, our message, our ministry, our lifestyle, our genders, our impact, and our doctrine. You have people that are not saved trying to instruct you on how to be a Christian. You have lawmakers that want to instruct us on how to worship God and when to worship God and where to worship God and indicting us because we don't meet their definition. And as a Christian, even in our families and our neighborhoods, we've been torn with controversy about living out our faith. In fact, the church has become more hidden more than ever, particularly in America. And it's a time to stand. It's a time to stand. We can allow it, we can accept it, or we can stand. We can stand. This word stand, I was thinking a lot about it for U.S. missions and our vision for this continent. This is the original Greater Grace missionary continent. We've been here, I want to say, for over 60 years on this continent doing missions. The large chunks of time where it almost appeared to be forgotten. Less than 5,000 believers on this continent of Greater Grace that acclaim to Greater Grace. And slightly over 30 churches in this continent. U.S. missions. And the history in the past of how things have happened, good and bad, and we can live in that or we can look forward. But in this time and in this season where there's specific pressure against the church, we can stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul likes to use this word It's interesting. Ephesians chapter 5 is about the spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 is about standing. We stand. We get the armor bearer in chapter 5, and we get the armor in chapter 6. And he says in verse 11, and verse 13, and verse 14, he says, stand, Ephesians. He says, stand. In the face of all of that, stand. And that word stand, it's interesting when you read the armor of the believer. Now, imagine you're listening to the writer Paul explain to the church in Ephesus about the armor of God. You hear all these pieces of armor. None of those pieces of armor have anything to do with standing. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate, the loins girt, none of that, it doesn't ring true. That key verb doesn't kick in until verse 15. And verse 15 talks about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, those shoes that they used to wear as sandals were basically a sole of a shoe, a tough sole. And then there was kind of straps that went all the way up midway to calf. And underneath of it, it was kind of like a cleat. There were things put on the bottom of the shoes, and this was everyday wear. This wasn't just for battle. They wore this every day when they walked around. The listener knows what Roman soldiers wear, so when they hear the word stand, that's what they understood stand meant. They're talking about those shoes I see every day. And these Roman soldiers wore cleats for two reasons. The first one was endurance. When they would fight different tribes, the Goths, the Visigoths, they would run at them. And they would get in a Roman column. They would get tight, and they would get narrow. And they would brace themselves with their shields of faith for the hit. And they would come at them and throw their bodies again. And they would just take the hit. And it was for bracing, for standing, so they wouldn't move. So the first purpose was for endurance, to stand. We have to stand with the gospel. For the defense of the gospel, we have to stand. We have to dig in. That's what that word stand means. It means to dig in. When our doctrine is being questioned, dig in. When churches are closing, dig in. When people question why we go to church, dig in. When they try to change about the way we see God, dig in. Endure. But then the soles of those shoes had a second purpose. Besides endurance, it was perseverance. It was to advance. What would happen is, as the enemy would come against the Roman legion, against the shield, they're throwing their bodies and trying to stab over the shields would be tight that the spears couldn't get through, and they would stand in close warfare. Then they would just advance, corporate, they would advance, and an entire column would move, and it would be the guy on your right and the guy on your left, we advance, and each time we're trusting the man on my right and the man on my left and the cleat, and we advance, and then the entire column would move. The first part of those shoes is for endurance, but the second part is for progression. When we stand in this day and age in the continent of America, yeah, we can endure, but we can also advance. God gave us feet shod with the preparation of the gospel to advance. What's happening in the Christian church is we're closing churches and becoming apologists, and we forgot how to be evangelists. Guys want to get online and argue the tenets of theology instead of going to church and winning a soul, instead of going to church and being with the body. I've become a theologist instead of an evangelist. You picked up your website and put down your gospel. You didn't go to Bible school to be an apologist. You went to Bible school to share your faith and be an evangelist. See, apologetics does not advance the gospel. It spreads it and defends it. There's a place for apologetics, don't get me wrong. But when a man of God stops preaching the gospel and decides to defend it on the internet, I have challenges with that. Because apologetics does not build churches. It defends the gospel and wins the lost, but it doesn't build a soul. It doesn't build a church. And I'm correctable for that, by the way. But U.S. missions, that's my heart. Let's go forward. I had this conversation with Pastor Schaller before this conference, and he gave me this idea that I love, that why can't the next year, because we in Greater Grace, our year begins now. Somebody should make a calendar for that, by the way, where it starts in June. They make a mint in Greater Grace anyway, a calendar that starts in June. But for this next calendar year, a year of oneness, to think out, that's just to sit there as a church and a pastor and it's 12 of us and we're like, we're just going to endure, endure, endure. We can advance. It's 12 of us, but we can advance. We have the shoes to advance. We don't just have the shoes to stand. We have the shoes to advance. We have the gospel. We have the gospel. We can advance. Don't measure the size of your church. Measure the size of Christ in your church. We can advance. Anyway, the idea he had, a year of oneness. One church. We have over 30 churches in this continent. One church adapts a city, preferably in another state. Extend yourself. Don't go next door. Go beyond. For 1 year, we pray for that city. We visit that city. We do a blitz to that city. We think about having a progress in our evangelism. We don't want to sit back in our building and worry about the rent and worry about the potluck and worry about, no. I don't want to sit there with my shield of faith and just keep waiting to get hit and to get hit and to get hit. I'd rather advance. Because you weren't given the shoes just to stand. You were given the shoes to advance. That word means two things, to stand and advance, to endure and persevere. So in U.S. missions, we're over 30 churches for now. For now. This country needs you more than ever. Let's not give this country over to the heathen. Let's not give this country over to the devil. Let's not give this country over to the world. Let's stand. Whatever petty grievances you have, things didn't work out years ago. This is a new day and a new thing. Put on the sandals, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Let's go. Let's go. Somebody said, why are you traveling in America? Because it's time to go. Because there's shoes on our feet. There's cleats on our feet. There's a man on my right and there's a man on my left. And they've got the shield of faith. And we're locked in a battle. And it's a warfare verse, but yet there's progress in warfare. Isn't that good? So much of Christianity is to withstand warfare. How about we progress in warfare? Shock the enemy. Attack. Oh my God, there's so many things they're saying. Oh, many things. And what? We weren't raised like that, were we? We weren't trained like that, were we? We can either progress. Well, let's borrow an old-fashioned Dr. Stevens word. We can retrogress. American missions. God has not forgotten America. Stand with him. Let's stand. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome, wasn't it? All right. So I love this thought. I love this thought that Pastor Ronaldo introduced, and it reminded me of an illustration about a lion in a cage. You know, the lion doesn't need to be defended, it just needs to be let out of the cage, right? And this is exactly how the gospel is. And as these past 5 years in particular that we have been working together, and then the last year in particular, we've seen a lot of advancement, and I want us to think about something just to segue with this thought of standing. And I've been thinking a lot about Mordecai, and we're aware of the problems. We're aware of the vacuum of leadership. We're aware of the tragedy of slipping and slippage in our country. And I love this thought: instead of going on the defensive, we go on the offensive. Amen. And this is why, with you, the heroes that you are, I think of our churches in the United States, I think of people like Pastor Jack, I think of people of Pastor Carl, I think of just what God's been doing in Frederick, and with Pastor Dennis. I'm going to miss some names here, obviously. Just we've been seeing some work in Elkton. We're seeing some work done in Pastor Amir in South Dakota. We're seeing just work. A tool sing. A tool has done more traveling this particular year, just strengthening churches, encouraging churches. Visions for many, many ideas of in Charlotte, North Carolina, for instance, Kentucky with Pastor Steve. Loved the thought of Kentucky. And but think about this in Esther chapter 3. Mordecai stood and he did not bow. And not that we are a rebellious folk, but we are a fervent folk. Amen. And we have a fire in our heart that says, no, we are not going to go silently into the night. We are going to be praying people, going people, preaching people, evangelizing people, people that say each church plants another church. And this is really the idea of this workshop, is that we here in Baltimore, by the grace of God, there's a team of six of us, and that USA Missions site, usamissions.us, I encourage you to check it out. We are committed to, by the grace of God, with the meager resources that we have, to pray for you, to help you, to go, to break new ground. Amen. Break new ground and cast the seed again, right? How many love casting the precious seed, right? Ecclesiastes 11. It's the gospel. What's our nation need? The gospel. What's our nation need? An example of the gospel, right? And to let out the lion of the cage and let him do valiant warfare. Amen. If you look at Esther, Esther's been in my mind, and it kind of reminds me of our country right now, where our country's under siege. We're under siege, and that's an interesting word, because when a country is under siege, it's isolated, the supply lines are cut off, and the intent is to conquer. That's the intent. But there's a beautiful thing as we're living in these last days, as we're living when Christians are falling away. That's a tragic thing to say, and it breaks my heart to say that. But we, by the grace of God, are looking at Jesus with a divine perspective and saying, not I, right? Not I, by the grace of God. We're here today to be encouraged, to get courage, to fasten ourselves to Jesus Christ, to fasten ourselves and rediscover the mission, to fasten ourselves and say, people say, America's been evangelized. And I say, it has not. It has not. I believe the diversity of our nation and the countries represented, even in our backyard, we have like 20, feels like we have 10 different nations right here in our backyard from the Middle East and Asia. And it's an awesome mission field. Amen. Our cities are diverse, and they are, in Isaiah 61:4, they are wasted. Our cities are wasted. And that's an interesting verse in Isaiah 61:4, because it says that we, as believers, are going to repair and rebuild the wasted cities. And this is why we can say glory to God. There's been some beautiful things this year. Pastor Jax Wheatley has led a beautiful pastor's prayer meeting Monday nights. And how many of you tune into that? How many pastors tune into that Monday night prayer meetings? Okay, a few of you, good. I think there's like 20. And then Tuesday night, the women, the pastor's wives, have a prayer meeting. And there's prayer. And that's how things happen, amen? Prayer. And that's how Mordecai stood, amen? Because there's always going to be resistance. If I count how much resistance, then I'll be discouraged. If I count the results, I'll be discouraged. If I look at myself, we'll really be discouraged maybe, right? But we have a great big God, amen? And I want to show you an interesting verse I read this morning that struck me in Romans 11. And then I want to talk some shop here about just some ideas, talking with Pastor Schaller and just really seeking the Lord together. This is interesting. Like, we have a divine perspective is encouraging, right? That's where courage comes from. We look at Jesus and then we look at our city, right? I think of places like Silver Spring. Think of places like Owings Mills. I think of the 9 churches that we have going on in Maryland. What is that? That's a work of grace. It's mobilizing the church To not say we can't, but that God can, right? God can. To rediscover that vision and say, you know what? I'm not much, but I'm going to advance. I love that, advance. There's too many Christians, and I say this to myself first, that are passive. And as we pray and get on our knees and God puts fire in us, then we say, we're going to not only break ground, we're going to take back the land and preach and minister and save the one, right? Job 29, right? We break the teeth of the adversary and pull out the prey, right? Good verse there in Job 29. We break the teeth of the adversary. Isn't that good? That's what the Bible does. That's what the Bible does. Okay, Romans 11. Think of this verse. And Elijah, remember, verse 2, he said, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Woe to you, that scripture saith to Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets and dragged down the iron altars and left alone, and they seek my life. What is he saying here? He's like, there's no hope. Everything is broken down. I'm the only one. Anybody ever feel alone? Don't raise your hand, right? All of us, right? And then that's because we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our resources. And God is saying, listen, I have 7,000 people in your city that has not bowed down. Isn't that a great way to look at your city? I can look at the destruction and the ridiculousness of our nation on so many levels. And we're well aware of how evil has waxed greater and greater. But no, we're going to put our energy in. Where are these 7,000? 7,000, it says in the next verse, 7,000 men have not bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. You're part of that 7,000. Isn't that good? So I'm encouraged by that. Are you encouraged by that? Let's believe God again for our city. Let's believe God again, as we just heard, for another city. Let's pray and ask God to show us where open places are in our city, in our cities, and maybe the next state over. I love what Pastor Bailey is doing. Pastor Bailey and so many are doing that. I don't want to start naming names because I'm going to forget somebody. But in going, right, we advance, we break new ground, right? We take back territory. And as Pastor said this morning in the pastor's meeting, we create spiritual homes for the lonely, spiritual homes for the addicted, the spiritual homes for the mentally unstable, right? And then we find people like Christian from the Carolinas, comes up for Bible school. We find people that are seeking, and they don't even know what they're seeking, but when they see it, they latch on like we did. Amen. Like we did. And we give our life and say, you know what? God has a plan. God has a plan. So I want to just talk a little bit with, I don't know if we have this up yet. It's usamissions.us. Let me just show you this site that kind of talks about the mission of U.S. missions. Okay, usamissions.us. All right, hopefully that'll come up. Okay, great. So maybe you can do that on your smartphone as well. But the idea is, in the front section here, are places that people are going. We're taking teams by faith and just visiting, evangelizing, having an event, like places like Atlanta, Marietta, Georgia, places like San Diego, Pastor, he just took a beautiful team out there, Pastor Ronaldo, places like Arkansas, places like Detroit. The York Church just went to Detroit. I was talking with Alex, and he said, everyone we talked to was open. Our country's open, amen? It's open. The pandemic was so destructive, and I think it was also a great test to the Christian church. It really was. And we're not here to indict or speculate or conclude on any of it, to say, we're going to go. we're going to go. I remember in Frederick talking with people, and they were orphaned by their churches. And they said, Pastor, would you pray with me? I have so much fear in my life. Like, I want to echo what Pastor Ronaldo just said. You are more important than ever in your cities, in your towns, in your families, obviously, in your neighborhoods. In your neighborhoods, amen? How many agree with that statement? Anybody? Okay, I got some of you. I got some of you. All right, that's good. Lexington, Kentucky, the whole month of July. Richmond, Virginia. Jesse Fires and the team in Richmond, Virginia. Wide open for the gospel. Wide open for the gospel. And finding the one, finding the two, finding maybe there's hundreds, or in what we just read, maybe there are even thousands. There are thousands. But you know what I love? We're just looking for the one. And in Job 32, it's one out of a thousand. Maybe one person is seeking, and we go by faith, and we say, we're here to share with you about this great God. You know, we see that in Atlanta a lot. We go down by faith. I don't want to say a rosy picture here, but it is shockingly open. How many have experienced that? How many would say that in your city it's open? People are as we go on the streets. I know this in Wilmington, Delaware, Pastor Carl Gale, three times a week on the streets. Nobody's evangelizing in these cities. In Frederick, same thing. They're like, we've heard about your church. You guys are on the streets, right? Why? Because we don't believe in hiding in our buildings. We believe in going and finding the woman at the well. We believe in finding the man with a withered hand and saying, stretch out your hand and God will heal you, right? In our postmodern, post-Christian society, the power of the gospel is the only thing that's going to save lives. Amen? And as we slip into a socialist and even a communist society, and we have seen it overseas, and it's in our country right now, we thank God we're not politicians. We are gospel preachers. Amen? And that's what we have the privilege of demonstrating. Chicago, Pastor Jack doing a beautiful work there July 15th through the 16th. And then South Dakota and Frederick. Just this website is meant to be a tool for you to be engaged, to be a part of it, and to come with us or do your own mission in your church, which is even better. Maybe God puts on a heart the next town over, gathering people together and praying and resisting the resistance. I'm quoting Pastor Stevens from 1994, one of my favorite messages. Resisting the resistance to say, no, we can't do that. No, it can't. You know, there's too many excuses. No, we push through by the grace of God and we endure hardness as a good soldier, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Endure hardness means we suffer well and we look beyond the suffering and say, the reward is so much better than the craziness that we have to walk through. Amen. We buy the field because there's a treasure in the field, right? That's why Baltimore's on fire. This is why, for the gospel. This is why we were just up in York, Pennsylvania, Pastor Jay and Pastor Craig, on fire. Men and women that love God, love the Bible, and love to reach out. So this site is just to, show you some pictures of trips, testimonials. But I want to show you something here at the base, and it's kind of like a strategy where we would love to come if you want us to for a weekend or a week or even up to a month, where we would just simply come alongside you and encourage you and evangelize and just help just minister life to you. And this strategy, it can be an internship where maybe you adopt a student for a month or 6 months. And you give him room and board, and he works in your church, or she works in your church. But the idea is to strengthen what remains, okay? But more than that is to reach these places that are just their wastelands, right? Where they're wastelands. So maybe you have a city or a town that you're thinking about, and I've heard this all year. I don't have anybody to go. I need a youth pastor, right? I need a assistant pastor. I need a family pastor. Whatever. There's so many needs, right? And Baltimore, you know, obviously we can't give you all of those things, even though we'd love to do that. But God, I believe God will raise up, out of that 7,000, God will raise up your youth pastors. He'll raise up your evangelism pastors or leaders or ministers. He will reach out and gather the people you're supposed to have. So does that make sense? So maybe a weekend. We've taken a lot of trips this particular year, just for a weekend. Like New York, I think of Pastor Sterling, amazing man of God, right there in a monster city, right? You know, and we might think, oh, we're little, we don't have a lot, and that doesn't matter. Our God, He created it all. He created you and I, and therefore He is the answer for every living soul. Amen. He really does. All right, so review this site. Our information's on there. Maybe you can't go. We're looking for givers. Maybe you want to give to the mission, which is very edifying. You know, people, some people take off work and they go for 4 or 5 days and expenses are covered, like flights and car, you know, car rentals and these things, which are very expensive now. But I love when we commit it to Jesus, right? God multiplies, right? All right, so think about these places: Atlanta, San Diego, Richmond, Arkansas, South Dakota, Frederick, Northeast Maryland, Elkton, right? Pastor Ronaldo said we have over 30 churches in our country. If each church, worked with one city, what could God do in a year? 2 years, 5 years. Las Vegas is working with San Diego, I believe, with Pastor John and just the amazing work going on. They're growing. And we know that this could double. And it's not a numbers thing. You know, if we have the presence of God and the quality of God, then that's all we want. But sure, we want more people to know about it, right? We want things to grow. Houston, Texas. What a great place to visit. Houston, Texas. God is moving in Houston, Texas, and they're church planting in another city now, College Station, from what I understand. So it's awesome. So with you and together as a team, we're not islands unto ourselves. We're not islands. And I want to talk about a couple things briefly. How you doing so far? You okay? Okay. You're tuned in. I like it. Pastor Ronaldo primed the pump. That's very good. He did more than that. All right. Communication. This is one of the greatest strongholds. And I really think Pastor Jack has been instrumental with these pastoral prayer times on Mondays. And if you want to know more about that, contact us. We'd love to loop you into that, because without prayer, nothing happens, right? But communication. That's the lifeblood of a vision, isn't it? Communication. We're not islands unto ourselves. It's not just me way up here and God knows where, and I'm just suffering well and doing. No. We're connected to a greater body. And this is why I love seeing people come during the week. We see Pastor Carl come down with a team, Wilmington, and it's amazing just to be encouraged and not to be worn out by the devil. You know, 7:25 of Daniel, this is what the devil does. He wears us down. He gets us into that grind, and we lose our vision. We lose our strength. You know, I think of Washington, PA, with Pastor Eric up there. What about Pittsburgh? Remember Pittsburgh? I've been thinking about Pittsburgh a lot. What about God moving in Pittsburgh again? It can happen, right? How many believe God for that? Amen. It can happen, right? I believe as we near the rapture, yes, evil waxes greater and greater, but so does the power of God. So does the demonstration of the Spirit. So does the people of God, right? You are the majority. You might say, well, I'm only one, but I'm one. D.L. Moody said, I am one, but I can do the work of one person. So maybe there's 50 people against me that are satanic and evil, but one person that's walking in the Spirit is greater. They can send how many thousands to flight? What is it? 5 to 10? What is it? 5? What's the ratio? You know it, right? It's the exponential synergy of a faith-filled, spirit-filled believer. So communication, not only communicating in your church, but communicating with us too, so we know how to pray with you, so we know how to pray with you. So prayer, phone calls. I love our missions department. Our missions department works very hard trying to stay, keep us connected with you. So we don't become islands. It's very easy, isn't it? Get working, our families, life goes on and it gets very busy. But a phone call, how many have been called this year and been encouraged? Ooh, just a few. Okay, we're going to work harder on that now. No, I'm just joking. phone calls. with the InReach department here in Baltimore, a phone call can save your life, right? It really can. It, right before a decision, a brother or sister can call and really change the dynamics of how we're sent, how we're focused in our perspective. Visits. This is something where, again, maybe your schedule's limited, but visits are awesome. Like Peabody, to go up to Peabody and bless Pastor Jim up there, right? It's like the journey up in Maine this summer with Gordon Colby. It's amazing, just the networking. What happened to Maine? Let's get Maine back. Amen. Let's get Maine back. Like, what on earth, right? Let's throw our shoe at Maine and say, hey, you know what? We love you. We love you. That's our message. God loves you more, you know, and let's get going, right? There's more. It's interesting. When you look at the Muslim population in Dearborn, it's almost comparative in Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine. My Lord. Because the devil is not neutral, that's for sure. He's not neutral. This is why our prayers matter. This is why our money matters. This is why our visits matter. This is why our faith perspective matters. Amen? It really does. It really does. So communication, then going. Take a city. Like, think about it. Like, maybe you're a healthy church and you can put your resources to a couple people to help them evangelize maybe a couple weekends a month or every weekend, or just do it by faith. God's provision will match his will. Amen. God's provision will be there. It'll be there. You know, one wise person said this to me. They said that not all activity is progress. Boy, is that true. Isn't that true? You ever work hard? There you are. Yeah, I think of the rocking chair. There you are, zipping back and forth, moving. And you're going nowhere. The gospel is, the furtherance of the gospel is so different. I love what Pastor said recently. God can do in a minute what it takes a lifetime for the natural man. God can do it in a minute. I want to challenge us today, and I'm challenging myself. Let's look again. Let's be like a Mordecai that stands up and says, nope, we are not bowing. Daniel opened his window and prayed. He did not shrink back, shrivel up, have a theology of apology. No, he was creative, he was fervent, and he was bold because God was with him. I also want to say this about internships. Maybe you need someone in your church for a week, a month, or 3 months, and you have a room. Like I've been up with Pastor Bailey. I've slept in that little room up there in his church. Anybody sleep up in that room in his church? That's a holy place, isn't it? I feel like I'm in Maine every time I go to Marlboro. And maybe it's Kentucky. Maybe it's Las Vegas. Maybe it's Houston, Texas. Maybe it's, I'm thinking of, I love saying Houston. Doesn't have a good ring to it? Houston. And then Pastor Adam. maybe it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing to do internships where you can say, hey, listen, I can cover somebody for a week. How about Tennessee? Pastor Drew. Tennessee. I can't forget that. Amazing. I'm going to forget other people. I'm sorry. So we're overcoming hurdles. We're overcoming hurdles. Amen. I love what Pastor Herb does up in Boiling Springs. He invites people, I believe every month, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's even more, but he comes and you stay there and you preach and you minister to the youth and you minister to the men, and then you minister on Sunday mornings in the nursing home. That is a great model. Let's say my church is kind of like dry or not growing or just kind of nothing's happening. You know, by the grace of God, invite somebody up there and then See what God does. Amen. Let's see what God does. Because God wants to grow his work. He really does. And I think we have an amazing opportunity, post-pandemic, to go back and rescue these orphans, people that have been lost. And I'll tell you, I read statistically that 6% of born-again Christians in the United States have a biblical worldview. 6%. Okay? And it's even in the mission boards, it's even less for church planters. It's only 3% of all missions is church planters. No wonder our country is sliding, because there's no voice, right? There's no real demonstration. So what a privilege we have, amen? The need is great, but our God is greater. We're not even looking at Goliath, right? I love what David said. What did David said? You know what? You... I come to you in the name of the Lord, not in a shield or a spear or in my own power, but I come unto you in the name of the Lord. And this is what we love about missions. It's an adventure, isn't it? We've got people in our churches and in our societies that are underdeveloped, they're bored, and they're under-challenged. And what a great thing to take a guy and say, hey, listen, come with me. Let's go to Elkton together. Let's go to Wilmington together. Let's go to Frederick together. Let's spend an afternoon and just see what God does in our heart. Let's go to Rosedale together. Let's go visit Pastor David Moore in Malta, New York, and be blessed out of our mind. I love that guy. It's like these are adventures. No wonder the devil is so powerful, because when there's no vision and mission, people run wild. They perish. All right. Well, there's a lot more I could say here. We've got some ideas about fundraising and things like that, but I'll hold on that. But breaking ground, sowing seed, having a harvest, and then seeing God minister. Okay. So look at Amos chapter 8 with me. A verse maybe we know, Amos 8:11. Now think about this. We are plagued in our nation with busyness. Busyness. How about this? Unrighteous priorities, right? Unrighteous priorities. Maybe discouragement, like what's the use? I've done it 100 times and nothing's happened. I want to say that God can do it again as we get on our knees, as we get on our face and say, God, if you don't go before me, then I'm not going. Imagine praying, and I know you do this, I'm just encouraging us, praying for our not only our church, but our neighborhoods. You know, during the pandemic, we handed out care packages and put them on all the doors in our neighborhood with tracts and some like a little Bible. And then the following December, we went Christmas caroling. We did door to door Christmas caroling, and it was unbelievable, the response. People would not let us go. They said, sing another song, you know. They would call other neighbors and say, hey, listen, you got to hear these guys caroling. And we couldn't really sing, but there were 30 of us, so we got kind of lost. There was some sort of sound that was, anyway, when you have 30 people, at all, you sound pretty okay. But, you know, we were going from house to house, and people are open. The devil has ravaged people. And this is where the church comes in and builds them up, loves them, and graces them out. Well, Amos 8:11, great verse here. Let's just find that together. There's a famine, amen? You know, the idea is that, oh, we've done this. I'm going to ask us to cast that down. Let's cast that down. The devil will say, that doesn't work. If we let the lion out of the cage, if we just continue discipling and praying and loving and going and believing in faith, God will do it. God will do it. We're seeing open doors. But in Amos 8:11, there's a famine. There's a famine of the word, right? There's a famine. There's a famine of spirituality. And this is why I believe in the next 5 to 10 years, if the Lord was to tarry, we could see our churches double. I really do. I really do. Amen. How many believe that? We can see men come to Bible school. We can start Bible schools. We can start Bible schools. I love what's happening in Frederick. They're starting a Bible school in September. Wilmington's starting a Bible school. It's amazing. This is what we do. These are the Greater Grace distinctives, right? We go, we pray, we go, we love, evangelize, we do a Bible study, and then we do a meeting, and then within a year, by the grace of God, right? Like Texas, they have an awesome Bible school in Houston, right? Why not? Why couldn't God raise up missionaries to come here? Yes, but to also go out into the South Central United States. How about the Northwest? The Northwest, right? Oregon, the most liberal state in our whole union. Oregon, right? Is God more powerful than liberalism? Absolutely. Secularism? Yes. Atheism? Yes. He is more powerful, and he is able. So, well, maybe we've got 15 minutes left here, and we could open it up for some questions in a moment. But souls, right? Souls. I was reminded this morning of Pastor Stevens, one of the last broadcasts on Grace Hour. How many remember that? He just kept saying souls, right? Souls. That this would be our motivation. That this would be our fire in our belly. The Jeremiah 20 verse 9, the going again, finding the Davids, finding the Daniels, finding the Deborahs, finding those people that are seeking, waiting to be found. You know, recently in Elkton, we had a Bible study, and there's a young man there. I don't know if he's here today. His name's Zach. And, you know, I had just a 25-year-old guy, he and his wife, and he just sharing with me just his heart and his journey. And up there in Elkton in particular, there's a lot of drugs, the tremendous epidemic of drug addiction. And in Baltimore, it's where the epicenter for heroin in the whole East Coast, right here in Baltimore. And among other things, like sex trafficking and all kinds of evils. But just talking with this man, I said, Zach, what is the most important thing you want to learn about in this Bible study? I said, what do you want to hear about? And he goes, you know what? I want to learn how to hear from God. I want to learn how to hear from God. Our young people, our next generation, they don't know God. I remember I was at a restaurant, and a guy had a cross on his neck. And I said, hey, that's amazing. That's our flag as a Christian, the cross. And, we were talking with him about that. And he looked at me perplexed. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, that's my skateboard symbol. I'm like, whoa, okay. The secularisms, right? The revisionists, right? We can bring back the true nature of who God is and the image of Christ in our message. All right, last verse I want to share with you, back in Esther for a minute. So how can you be involved? Communication. Communicate with us if you want. If we can pray for you, we want to do that. Connect to Pastor Jack and the men during the week on Monday nights. The pastor's wives or women on Tuesday nights. We can get you that information just to start praying for your area specifically. You can invite us to come, and we'll just be helpers of your joy, and we can certainly evangelize and encourage. You can give, which helps other people go, like a lot of our Bible school students that have some extra time, we'd like to think, and have them help them go. These are ways to get some bodies on the grounds, or what we call boots on the ground, and then do the work of the ministry. But I want to show you one other thing here in Esther. I failed to mention, but you know what was interesting about Haman? And Esther has been in my mind because we understand that Mordecai stood, he commissioned Esther because there was a decree to kill all the Jews, And very few people were standing up against that. And it says here, it's a very interesting verse in 315, that reminds me of our city, of our country right now. So the post went out being hastened by the king's commandment to kill all the Jews. And the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city was perplexed, was in a state of confusion. It's like Jonah, right? Jonah, the Nineveh had no idea what their right hand was from their left. They were ignorant, confused, dull. And here we see leadership drinking and having a good time, and the city suffers. The city suffers. And this is why we're motivated. Yes, souls. Yes, faith. But also to say, hey, listen, we're looking to share the message and say, we want to build a spiritual community so you don't suffer alone, so you don't die of an overdose, right? The tragedy of an overdose, a 20-something-year-old dying of an overdose, or a teenager cutting themselves, or struggling with suicide. What is that? Is there a message? Is there a messenger? How will they know unless there's a preacher, right? I love a guy in our Bible school, Caleb Dye. He loves to be on the streets preaching. I love it. Going back and mastering the basics of open air ministry. Why not? If the devil is active, right? We can say by the grace of God, Lord, we're going to go in faith. And in the perplexity and in the confusion, there's simplicity of the gospel. There's simplicity of a message. There's a simplicity of faith. And then there's power. And then there's presence. And then we see people added to our churches. Amen. So U.S. missions, I mean, this can be obviously for anywhere in the world, but we see a huge vacuum in our country. Anybody see a vacuum in our country? Are you upset about that? How many are upset about that? Only a few of you? Amen. I'm upset about it in the right sense. I'm righteously angry about it. Because, like, this is why we're fervent. This is why we're not backing up, putting up, or shutting up, right? Getting on our knees. But we're going. We're going, nope, devil, you're not going to take that city without a fight, right? We're going to go with the gospel and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Lead us, lead us, lead us. So our country's under siege, but God wants us to ignite. Pastor Ronaldo and I were talking about this, to ignite. Let's ignite. How does igniting happen? You strike a match, and there's a lot of dry embers around, and that little matchstick can light a fire, right? A forest fire, right? God can do it in our churches. We might be little, we might be small, but we are mighty by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So please check us out on this site, usamissions.us. If we can pray for you, we want to know you. We want to know what's going on so we can pray. We'd love to come if we can. We'd love to maybe be part of encouraging people that have an interest in U.S. missions. And by the way, if you look at the U.S. map, Las Vegas, Nevada is really our farthest west outpost. I mean, there's so much of the heartland, you know. And think about it. The grace message, the finished work message was practically non-existent. In Atlanta, not long ago, we were sharing the gospel with somebody, and they're like, oh, I know that, I know that, I grew up hearing that. And then we just kept talking. We just kept talking. The person got quiet. They said, I've never heard that message before, the message of grace. I've never heard the message of the person of Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? Even in a Laodicean time, God will give us people. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for these thoughts today. And our hearts are burdened. And we know that the Lord of the harvest, we pray to the Lord of the harvest that you'll send messengers, that you'd send explorers. You would send not only explorers, but people that take out the telescope and see the big picture, Lord. That you would just send out laborers into your fields. Father, we need help. And we just ask that you would touch our young men and women, touch people in our churches, to give them a vision. Bless the pastors and their wives and their families and the teams. Add to them, strengthen them, encourage them. Give them fresh oil. Give us fresh oil, Lord. on our eyes, fresh oil on our ears, fresh oil on our hands, fresh oil on our feet. Give us fresh oil, Lord. Strengthen us. Thank you, God. And do a new work. Do a new work in our cities. May people be turned to righteousness because of who you are. Thank you, Lord. We commit these thoughts to you today. Bless the works in our country. Really pour out your spirit and do a great work in the hearts of each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. Thanks so much for coming. And Pastor Jack is here. Pastor Jack, maybe you want to come down front. If you want to see him about the prayer meeting, this is really an awesome thing. Is Atul Singh here? Did Atul Singh make it? Okay. We have a lot. We have a booth, the Richmond and Atlanta booth. There's a lot. This site will tell you a lot about upcoming mission trips. Maybe you don't have a lot of time. That's okay. Spend a day with us. Spend a couple days. Yeah, Patrick. Yeah, usamissions.us. Does anybody need, Cabo, do we have any more of those flyers left? So Cabo Standard, this young man right here, just if you want some of those flyers, let's get rid of all those flyers. That'd be great. That's great. All right, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming.